Welcome to the Word of Life Tabernacle podcast, where we know one word from God can change your life today. From wherever you are listening, we hope you are encouraged by this week's message.
Spirit, soul, and body, I do not depend upon my own intellect, nor my own ability. I'm trusting in the Spirit of God to rise up and live big within me. Satan, we remind you that you're bound in Jesus' name. You have no power nor authority over the Word of God or in this service. We decree and declare that the Word of God shall have its free course and be glorified in this place. The eyes of people understanding shall be enlightened, and they will know what is the hope of their calling and what their inheritance is among the saints in light. Thank you that your word shall not return vain, void, or non-productive, but shall accomplish that which you please and prosper in the lives whereunto you send it. In Jesus' name I pray, and the church said, amen. Again, we just welcome in our streaming audience this morning and encourage you to join the YouTube channel. Take advantage locally of the local broadcast. If you're in the Tri-D area, hop on Greensboro, Winston, Thomasville, Kernersville, or anywhere surrounding cities. We on every Sunday morning, CW, of the Tri-D from 9 to 10. If you're satellite, then it's going to be channel 20, whether you have Dish or DirecTV. If you have Plex or Spectrum, it'll be channel 3. So we encourage you to have a double hour power. Watch it locally and then live stream with us. Share this ministry to other people. Get on the phone, email, tweet, whatever you do, Facebook, have other people to tune in to other forms of media. That's how we get the gospel into all the earth. It takes all of us. And then, of course, subscribe to the YouTube channel yourself where you'll never miss another message coming from this pulpit. Again, we welcome you, and we're ready to go. Amen. So let's get right into the Word of God. Those of you that have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And I want to teach a message that I want you to hear by the Spirit. Don't hear just what I'm saying. Hear what the Spirit of God is saying through me. I want to entitle this message, The Balance of Insufficiency. The Balance of Insufficiency. What is insufficiency all about? Because when you first hear it, we're not saying that God don't want us to God wants us to go without and not have something. God will always provide for us. But when there is insufficiency, and where there's insufficiency, there is a reason. And it is a part of life. And you have to balance insufficiency out. Do you understand what I'm saying? So I want you to make this faith confession so that you're clear. Say, the Lord will provide for me all the time. And every time, regardless of the situation. So I'm not saying God wants you to be insufficient. I'm saying there is something behind insufficiency, and it is a balance. It's a part of life. And I want to show it to you from the scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to look at verse 8 through 10. And here Paul in chapter 11 that just got through his experiencing great trial, test, and tribulation. He talked about it, how he was beaten with the rod 3 times, once stoned, left for dead, in perils of the sea, shipwrecked. Talked about all the different trials and tests that he went through, this spirit that was given him, a messenger of Satan, he was called, to buffet him. And he got to the point where he felt like, that we all do, he was overwhelmed. Have you ever felt overwhelmed? Like, if one more thing happened, all right, you don't want me, there's a picture called snap. People snap sometimes. The car break, this, that, marriage get in trouble, kids come in, all right. And so Paul was experiencing that, and he just felt he couldn't deal with all that was going on in his life. Do I have any witnesses here? Have you ever felt that way? Yeah. And so he felt insufficient. I don't have what it takes. Sufficient means enough. Insufficient means not enough. So here we pick up the story. So he went to the Lord. And he just voiced how he was feeling. And I'm glad that a great apostle like this is showing his frustration because that lets us know it's okay to be human. Sometimes as a preacher, well, look at Pastor D. You know, he was a little sharp this morning. Well, look at you. I'm human just like you. Amen. You know, I feel stuff. I get frustrated. And here's an apostle who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament literally complaining. We pick it up in verse 8. And Paul says this. He says, for this thing I besought the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, now look at God's answer, my grace is sufficient for thee. Okay? My grace is sufficient for thee. So what did that mean? That means you have enough. So what Paul was experiencing was insufficiency. He felt, I didn't have the strength. I didn't have the know-how. I didn't have the wisdom. And so he was feeling insufficient. He was going through insufficiency. He felt, and we all been like that. We don't have all knowledge. There are things we don't know. There's things we don't have. We can be insufficient in resources, insufficient as far as personnel, insufficient as far as wisdom and how to get things done. And Paul is just getting honest. He said, Lord, this thing needs to depart. But God said, my grace is not insufficient. It is sufficient. Now, you're feeling insufficient, like you don't have what it takes, and I'm telling you do. And then he goes further and explains this grace. He said, and my strength is perfect in your weakness. So obviously he was feeling weak. Anyone ever felt weak before? Huh? We all have experienced that. And sometimes we just feel, I don't have what it takes. Why am I coming to church? And he's dealing with insufficiency. And there's a balance here. But notice what I want you to see. His insufficiency caused him to seek God. Huh? Because if you don't need him, why seek him? He said 3 times, I besought the Lord. And many times our insufficiency is setting us up to move us to God. That's what crisis does. As long as everything is great, you got money in the bank, kids acting well, marriage going good, job going good. Man, we don't seek God. We take him for granted. But all of a sudden, he's feeling this insufficiency, and 3 times. And God kind of wasn't going to talk to him. You know, why you have to say 3 times? And God finally said, look, Paul, I know you're going through shipwrecks, stonings, beatings. I know there's false brethren. I know you're going, but my grace is enough, and my strength is made perfect in your weakness. That's already answered to someone this morning. Because you feel like, my God, and one more thing, God said, no, you are stronger than you think. My grace is enough for you to deal with that job situation, that ungodly boss man, that child that's in rebellion, that daughter that don't want to listen to you, that negative diagnosis about cancer or some type of leukemia. My grace. And were you weak, I'll make you strong. Notice his response to that. He says, it's made perfect in weakness. Paul changed his attitude immediately. God gave an answer. He said, okay, most gladly. Therefore, rather complaining, I'm going to glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ might rest on me. Now, remember, Christ is more than Jesus' last name. What does Christ mean? The anointed one. He said, I'm going to glory in the midst of the trial, the test, the stone. And the anointing is going to come on me, and it's going to remove the burden and destroy the yoke. Since I know that your grace is sufficient, since I know I can deal with this job situation, since I know I can deal with this divorce situation, since I know I can deal with this IRS situation, I was feeling insufficient like I did. But I'm going to start praising God right in the middle of it. And the anointing, how many know it is the anointing that destroys the yoke, that lifts heaviness off of you? See, the situation didn't change. Paul changed. You've been waiting on the situation to change. You've been waiting on this to change, the person to change, my son and daughter. God is saying, you change. Change your attitude. I'm looking for somebody that will give me glory in the midst of the trial. Before you see the money in the bank. Before the doctor say you're healed. Before your child change. There's something that will come on you. He goes on here to say, therefore I take pleasure. Lord, forgive. I repent for complaining. I take pleasure in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distress. For Christ's sake, for when I'm weak, that's when I'm strong. When I'm weak in myself, your grace is sufficient. I was feeling insufficient, but your grace is sufficient. You see, you got to understand that. Oh, I tell you what, before I even go into that, put this up in Amplified. This Amplified. He said, three times I called upon the Lord and besought him, and I begged him that this thing might depart from me. But he said to me, my grace, my favor. I know some of you think, why don't you ever read on this side of the board? Why you always go to that side? Someone come over here and let you. He said, my grace and my favor and my loving kindness and mercy is enough. See, enough. Sufficient mean enough. Insufficient mean you're lacking something. What is wisdom? What is resources? What is knowledge? He said, it's enough. Sufficient against any danger. It enables you to bear up any trouble manfully. Look at your neighbor and say, man up. Man. And sometimes you just got to face that thing, you know. I mean, the bill, the problem, face it. Man up. Man up. Deal with it. You know, Yahweh looking for someone to cry with you. Man up. Face it like a man. He said, man up, Paul. He says, it enables you to bear the trouble manfully. My strength and my power is made perfect, fulfilled, and completed. Watch this. And show themselves most effectively in your weakness. The weaker you get, the more I can show myself strong. Because what they're saying, you finally giving up and you realize you need me. You can't deal with this child. You see, a lot of people wear themselves out before they turn the thing over to God. And he says, when you're at your weakest, well, that was a point, weak point. He said, that's when my power is the strongest. He said, therefore, I will gladly glory in my weaknesses, infirmities, and that the strength and the power of Christ, the anointing, may rest, yes, pitch a tent over me and dwell upon me, so that for Christ's sake, I am pleased and take pleasure in infirmities, insults. Go ahead and talk about me, call me, lie, whatever. Hardships, persecutions, perplexities, distresses. For when I'm weak in human strength, then I am truly strong, able, and powerful in divine strength. When all of my human strength gone and I just want to quit church and say ain't coming no more, they lied on me. I got bills. The IRS wrote me on my back pay on this. I just went through a divorce. I just got my car repossessed. And it's like when I'm, and he said, that's human strength. He said, that's when your divine strength, there's an anointing that comes from on high at your weakest point if you don't quit. He said, that's when I'm strong in divine strength. Now, this is what I want you to see. Paul was dealing with insufficiency. God had to tell him there's grace sufficient. First point, when you're insufficiency, it qualifies you. When you're insufficient, it qualifies you for God's supernatural help in your life. It qualifies you when you're lacking something. See, there are certain things, loopholes in life, things you don't know, things you don't have. You're going to always deal with insufficient. It's a part of life. And notice it's our insufficiency that drove Paul and drives us to God. Huh? Come on. You know, if you don't know something, walk tall on it. I'm going to just probably hit on everybody's message this morning before I'm through. James 1:5, in any man lack wisdom. I'm insufficient with wisdom. You don't know everything. We're not all knowing. Huh? Come on. And so when you don't know, you need to seek God. When you don't have something, you need to seek God. Come on. That's the balance of insufficiency. Put my statement back up. I want to stay with that. I want to work that a little bit. Put that statement back up. the first statement I just made, if it went up, he said, when you're insufficient, your insufficiency, I'm going to say it again, they'll work on that. He says, when your insufficiency, it qualifies you for God's supernatural help in your life. Praise God. All right, when you're are insufficient, qualify you. Now hold that there for a minute. This is why I want to give you a couple of examples. You say, what do you mean it qualifies you for God's supernatural help when you're insufficient? I'll give you some examples. You remember the Old Testament? You remember when the widow and had a little cruse oil, a little bit of bread, and there was famine in the land, and she said, I'm going to eat this and die? That was not enough, wasn't it? It was insufficiency, huh? Was that enough? No, it wasn't enough for her. She said, and the man of God said, come, feed me first. And guess what happened? It multiplied. See, it qualified her for the supernatural power of God. And when she made Elijah the cake for 3.5 years, praise God, they would sustain. Are you listening to me? I'll give you another example, the 2 fish and the 5 loaves. You remember that? Was that enough to feed 5,000 besides women and children? Could have been 15, 20,000. It was insufficiency, but it drove them to God. It qualified them. Are you seeing what? For the supernatural, because when we got stuff, we don't seek God. When your bills pay, most time we don't seek. Matter of fact, I'm going to talk about how we get at ease, and even in a comfort zone, we forget about God. Now, my subtopic, I didn't say it, but they put it up, was called becoming God dependent. God wants us to depend on him. And a lot of times, start depending on ourselves. You know, when we first get saved, and we're in that little two-room apartment, and you know, you're doing peanut butter sandwiches, you're going to school, just trying to get through school, trying to pay off the next books for the next semester, you're seeking God. We're praying for God. I mean, you know, when you just, you know, that little two-room apartment, some of you know what I'm talking about. You ain't always been where you are today, driving what you have. You wasn't in that gated community. You ain't had a house you in. And when there's insufficient, it makes us seek God. Man, I got to seek God. Praise God for a car payment. I got to seek God. Praise God for book fee. I got to seek God for the gym. But when we get all that stuff paid off, a lot of times we quit seeking God because I got it now. You know, I ain't worried about, you know, welfare peanut butter. I'm not worried about puff wheat. I'm not worried about that stove that, you know, that I used to have to put coal in and kerosene. Some of you don't know what I'm talking about. Because now I can just go to the dial, praise God, and just set it on my, praise God, central air, and it just comes to 70, praise, and it's paid for, and the cop paid for. And that, but see, let me tell you, it's in this insufficiency when there's not enough. And some of us need to go back and have a flashback to those days where your faith, you were believing God for, I'm talking about for a pencil, believing God for a pair of socks. Every day you were believing God for food, you were believing God for book fee, you were, because you didn't have it. You know you done changed. Now you got it. You're going to find out there are loopholes in our life that cannot be filled by nothing else except God himself. Only God. Clothes can't do it. Drugs can't do it. That's how you can have you can have a Rolex watch on your wrist. Guess what? Your Rolex is going to tell time just like my Timex. That don't make you nothing. Come on. And you think it was in that. You can have Prada shoes on. You can, praise God, have, I'm talking about, a Louis Vuitton bag on your arm and Gucci on your back. But you're going to come to a place that you're going to find it ain't in the Gucci. It ain't in, I still need God. I need God. I need to seek God. Come on. That's what has happened to the church. We've prospered in a season, and over in the book of Revelation, they got to place that we don't need nothing because we're sufficient. I'm rich now. I don't have to bleed for my rent anymore. My house is paid for. My car is paid. I got the title to this. But I'm here to tell you, even with your title, with your car, I don't care with everything you got, there's something in you that is still cannot be filled except in the presence of Almighty God. I'm preaching to somebody that's hearing me this morning. Stuff cannot fill that void. Take it from your pastor. I wake up and I'm, which car I want to drive? And I look at God, and with all of that, and we flew all over the world, first class, but there's still something in me. God, I still need you. Thank you for doing this. but that car don't mean nothing. This suit don't mean nothing. I remember when I was a drug addict on the streets of High Point crying out for help, and you reached down and saved me and delivered me, and I need you every hour. Just because I prospered, I don't mean a thing. I need you to preach. I need you to teach. In you I live and move and have. But no, we done. Oh. See, your insufficiency make you seek God. God is looking for some folk that will still seek him in your new car, in your new home, in your paid off whatever you drive. So insufficiency is a holy invitation for the supernatural help from God. Belong to you, God, and you ain't gonna. I have need of nothing till a crisis comes. That's why crisis comes. I ain't saying God sent it. He's allowed them to happen, because when crisis is, bring you back down to your knees. There are certain things only God can get you out of. Your car, your home, your degrees, your... I don't care how smart you are. I don't care how many D's you got. You're going to find out in life, once you get all this stuff you thought going to make you happy, you're going to still, there's going to be a void in you. I can go on and on. Some of you struggling to pay your taxes. Insufficient. Peter struggled. What happens? It opens up the door for life. Go fishing, Peter. And the first fish, catch it, go pay your tax. All during the Old Testament. Moses, he cried out, insufficient, not enough water. Smite the rock, here come water. Oh, we're insufficient, ain't got nothing to eat. Manna comes from heaven. Fresh bread comes. Every time that God comes on the scene, there's a balance. Sometimes when you don't have it, it's simply because God is setting you up for a miracle. And if you'll learn how to have the right attitude like Paul and start glorying in the midst of your insufficient, then it'll come, it'll manifest. And I'm all for prosperity. I'm all for stuff. But it can't satisfy the place of God in your heart. Take it from me, those of you that's just trying to get there. I'm telling you. You can get all the weed you want. And I ain't trying to be funny. But, you know, I done found it. There's three things I done found some women going to have. They're going to have them some long hair, some fingernails, and some eyelashes. Now, all the rest come as is, but I'm going to have that. We travel everywhere, and I don't care what country we were in. And them fingernails, boy. But you have all that, you're going to still need God. Yeah. I'm just telling you, don't get mad at me. That's why you're laughing, you know I'm telling the truth. So he said, bring it to me, two fish, five loaves. See, so when you're insufficient, it qualifies you for God's supernatural help. If you self-sufficient, you don't need no help. And I'm going to show you God don't want any of us. Matter of fact, that's my next statement. If you're self-sufficient in everything, you would need God. Self-sufficient is saying you're enough without God. And I understand I'm a self-made man. No. You need God and you need people. That's right. When God calls you, anything, when God called me, if God gives you a vision and you can fulfill it yourself, it's not from God. Because if God calls you, it's going to take people. I need all those ministry helps you see up there. I need ushers, greeters. When God called me, I need people. But most of all, I need him. And there again, hold that there. If you are self-sufficient in everything, you would not need God. I'm self-sufficient. I'm a self-made man. Self-made. Whoa. What you're saying is you're getting into humanism. You're getting into Tower of Babel. That's why the Babylonian mentality, that's why it came down, because they said, let us make us a tower. Let us. We don't need God. Let us make a tower that reach heaven. We don't need God. Anytime you take God out the equation, I don't care what you're doing. Business, I don't care how rich you are. You're going to fail. Because we need God to be who we are, but God don't need us to be who he is. He's the only person that's self-sufficient. In the beginning was God. And when you're saying you don't need God, to say you enough is really egotistical. And ego is an acronym, which means edging God out. I don't need you, God. I can build this building myself. I can build a church myself. Huh? I can deal with these kids myself. No. It's when you recognize your insufficiency. God, I need you. I don't have, know everything I need to know. I don't have everything. See, this is what happened to the church. Revelation 3. Verse 16 and 17, they got lukewarm. They forgot about where they came from. They forgot about how God brought them out of the wilderness. They forgot how God brought you out of Egypt. They forgot about, you know, when you was in that little bedroom, you sought God, you prayed every day, you so and so. When you was on, you know what I'm talking about? All you go back and revisit your journey. Reflect on where you came from. Man. There was so much insufficiency in your life. I remember when I was building a church, I didn't know nothing about how to build a church. How do you get it, you know, incorporated? How you do it? And God, as the more I said, God, I need you, the more God sent me a lawyer to do it. But I had to recognize that I was insufficient. I can't do this by myself. And God would always provide. God would always provide. It brought a balance. Put that back up again. Put that back up. Just put that statement back up. I wanted to brand in you. If you were self-sufficient in everything, think about it. Didn't need no money. Don't need no this. Don't need no people. We've sung this song. I don't need nobody else. I don't need nobody else. All I need is, that's not really true. You do need somebody else. Other than just Jesus. It starts with Jesus, but Jesus is going to give you people. That's why God... After all that work with that man, he looked at Adam and said, it's not good that you be alone. You're gonna start smelling yourself. I need to make you a helpmate so you don't smell yourself. You ain't all that by yourself. So I'm gonna put you to sleep, boy. And create this woman. Now she gonna have some issues too, but you got them too, and together y'all work them out. Okay, Revelation. So what happened is this. Look at this, Revelation. He says, so you're lukewarm. You know, milk is good in coffee. Hot coffee is real good. Or milk is good real cold. But when it's lukewarm and small and you drink it, it'll make you throw up. That's what he's talking about. He said, church. He's talking to the church of Laodicea. Church folks, not sinners. People that mark in their Bible. People that shout, dance. People that go, you tie my bow tie, I tie your bow tie. Shanda, Kawasaki, Honda. That's who she's talking about. Tom. Because you lukewarm, he said, I speak out of my mouth. I know. Look at the next verse. He said, for you say, I'm rich now. I've made it. I'm prosperous. Praise God. Gated community. Got my house. Got my car. Got my Lamborghini. Praise God. Yeah, finally got it. Yeah. Y'all have said it's bad. I'm rich. I'm grown wealthy, prospered. Well, I said, here's the problem, and have need of nothing. You're saying you don't need God. You're putting stuff. You're putting creation above the creator. Do you not realize and understand you're wretched, pitiful, poor, and blind? See, this is what happened to the church. It's okay to have stuff, just don't forget God. Thou shalt remember the Lord thy God. And what has happened is, when we got stuff, then why say, God, I don't need nothing. But where there's insufficiency, it makes you pray. It makes you recognize, I need wisdom. I need understanding. I need all of these things. Are y'all with me? Amen. Praise God. There's a balance here. God wants you to become, and I didn't go over it, but the subtopic is become God-dependent. You never quit depending on God. Jesus was God dependent. Do his whole man. What I do, except I see my father do it. I depend on my father. I don't say nothing until I hear my father say it. I'm a father of one. He said in St. John, I think it's 14, verse 10 and 11, he says, the works I do, I don't do it. I speak the word. The father that dwells with, he does the work. I depend on him to heal. He's the deliverer. And listen, you never stop being God dependent. From the time Jesus was born to the time he died, the last words, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. I depend on you. Now, Jesus depended on God. And insufficiency makes you realize I need more than just me and my degree and my car and my house and my Gucci bag. And my Versace. And my whatever you want to call. Jones of New York. See, we think we done arrived. Just because you got a Gucci bag, you ain't Gucci. You don't know nothing about Mr. Gucci. A bag does not change your identity. We still know you from the hood. Oh, let me, I bet. Somebody getting mad at me now. Oh, y'all young people, hear me. Don't go trying to impress all, go broke trying to impress all these folks. That you ain't gonna never know once you graduate. Because they don't care. They don't care about graduating. Okay? So our insufficiency then makes us look to and depend on God. I remember when God first called me. All I had was a calling. How I'm going to start a church? How I'm going to do it? He showed me all these, this, that. Where I'm going to get buildings, screens, camera. God says, the steps of a good man. Man, I prayed every day. I trust the Holy Spirit. What's the first step? Go to the Y, do this. Go to that, do it. Then go over to here and do it. I had to depend on God. I had to seek him. I read the word every day. I acknowledge the Lord in all thy ways. He'll direct. But see, once when there is no insufficiency, we get lazy. Because insufficiency, you know, caused, first of all, spiritual faith. Hold that there, because I'm going to do some talking here. You know, Moses dealing with insufficient. They have enough. God said, I'm going to bring you to the land that's more than enough, right? Land flow of milk and honey. So what it called? They begin to praise and God deliver. And so insufficient leads to spiritual faith. Then spiritual faith leads to liberty. You can kind of use black people in this thing. You know, we were insufficient. We was out on the plantation and there again. You know, and I'm just talking about our experience and what I said. I know they're trying to get rid of all that in history, but you can't wipe away what has happened. And then all of a sudden, you know, we went from there to spiritual faith. We started praying and then we got liberty. And then liberty leads to abundance, because once you get the knowledge, the books, and go to the school, now, man, I'm talking about, my God, we got the cars, how we're looking good, dressing good, got all that stuff I'm talking about, can buy it now, you know, go get it. You know, if you ain't got it natural, you can get it. Somebody will fix you up. It's out there. But what happened? Once we went from liberty to abundance, we went to complacency. People used to pray in the cornfields and in the slave fields. They don't even seek God anymore. People don't even come to church anymore. And complacency leads to laziness. Now it's just lazy. That's why people, man, I like streaming. I'm just going to sit at home, eat me some corn chip, and watch Pastor. Laid up in the couch. Huh? And that's why we go back into bondage. We forget where we're coming. But you remember when you didn't have it? When you had to pray? What first got you out of the mess you were in? It was that communion with God. And God is trying to bring us back. Are you listening? So our insufficiency makes us look to and depend on God. God, I need you. I've been in ministry now 43 years, and every time I step in this pulpit, I recognize my inability. God, if you don't talk through me, I can't heal anybody. I can't teach anybody. I need your anointing. I hear you. I need your voice. I need your wisdom. Don't never get to where you quit depending on God just because you get stuck. Google don't know everything. Google can't heal you. You can talk to Google all your Google. Heal me. Google said, I don't have that information yet. Google can't get you out of that. See, we turn to Google and all of these, you know, form of social media. Alexa, get me out of that. Alexa said, I don't have that knowledge yet. Google, counsel my kids. I don't have that knowledge yet. There's some things only God. And insufficiency, when you realize you can't do it, it makes you look to God. St. John 15:5. There's got to be a balance there. I am the vine. You're just a branch. In other words, I bear you, you don't bear me. Your call, your healing, your deliverance, your good life, that good job, your prosperity, all is coming from me. And I still want you to depend on me. I want you to become God dependent. Hallelujah. He said, whosoever lives in me and I in him bears much abundant fruit. However, apart from me, you can't. Listen, apart from vital union with me, God is vital. There are some parts of the body you can cut your toe off and live. You can cut your finger off, but you lose your heart. It's a vital organ. God says, Father, you can't do nothing. See, God wants us to be God dependent on him. Anybody getting what I'm preaching here this morning? And insufficiency makes you look toward God. When we get everything, got everything, that's why a lot of our kids today are so small and messed up. Mama taught us responsibility, but we give our kids everything. Before they don't work for nothing, they don't do nothing, you go work. And don't get me wrong. Now, if I say that, you'll get mad at me. But it's the truth. My mom, when you came up in our house, when you start getting about high school, you had to do one of three things. She said, where you going? You going to join the army? You going to go to school? Or you going to get a job and help me pay bills? Ain't no such thing as sitting at home. I'm going to stay home. You had three options. And all of them involved work. You're going to need to work in school, you're going to work for Uncle Sam, or you're going to work for me. But you ain't going to sit up in here, much less have babies and think, I don't raise my babies. I ain't taking care. Oh, look at, see, now y'all get mad at me. And I'm not knocking the baby. I'm just saying we haven't taught them responsibility. Oh, boy, I just pulled my shoe loose. That's loose. Can somebody come up here? Because I don't like how that feel real quick. You got it? It don't matter about camera. Yeah, just tie it up. So we got to teach our kids responsibility. And mama taught us responsibility. Nobody don't owe you nothing. You better work hard. Talking about give me my, I want my 40 acres and a mule. You, what are you thinking with your 40 acres and a mule? If I had 40 acres, Lord have mercy. So, insufficiency pushes us toward God. I'm going to show you a marvelous scripture. I ain't going to be before you, Lord. I know some of you think I'm going to come back and just, no, I'm not. I got the rest of my life to teach you. But insufficiency of man becomes the opportunity of God. Look at Philippians 4:13. I said this is the last scripture I'm going to have you turn to, believe it or not. Now, that don't mean the last one I'm gonna preach about. Somebody got happy. Glory to God. Is this helping you? Any true witnesses from the old school? Before you got to where you got, you got to remember what you're living in. The seed of that was in yesteryear. You need to go back and revisit the things, your commitment to God, the things, the intensity you had for God when you didn't have nothing, when you was insufficient. And then if you'll be honest, you're not as diligent and passionate toward those godly principles as you were now that we've kind of prospered and grown, this and that and these and Zion, you know what I'm saying? And it's okay to be like that, but I still need God. The abundance of love, then people get lazy. Oh, I got my food. I got stocked up. I got my dinner. Well, then go help somebody else get dinner. Go feed somebody else. Huh? Now, you have Philippians? Am I making sense? To me, I am. You got Philippians? Chapter 4. Look at one verse of scripture. Verse 13. You got it?
Yes.
Let's all read it together. You got it? Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. Ready? Read. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Through that anointing. Notice that you're saying, I can't do it myself. Now, you got to have self-ability, self-confidence. I can come out of that. I can become a doctor. I can graduate from school. I can have a successful business. It's nothing wrong with that. That's part of it. But it's through Christ. I just read, without him, I can't do. Because he's divine. So I'm not trying to rob you of your self-confidence. I'm trying to build your God dependency. Anybody understand the balance? That's what I'm calling this, the balance. Because you got to believe you can. I have to believe that I can build debt-free churches. But I can't do it by myself. It's only through that anointing who strengthens me. My sufficiency comes from Christ. I can do it, but without his help, his wisdom, his guidance, his resources. Amplified brings this out so beautiful. Put this up. Watch it. I have strength for all things in Christ. Remember Paul? My strength is made perfect in weakness. How did he deal with it? How did he go through beatings and stoning? Who empowers me? I'm ready for anything, equal to anything, through him who infuses me with inner strength. Here it is. Get it? I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. Everything God have, he can do. I'm not self-sufficient in my 401k, in my finances, in my strength. I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. All that, as long as I got Christ, the money is there, the resources are there, the wisdom is there, the knowledge is there. I can do all things through his sufficiency. But apart from him, God don't want us to be self-sufficient. You're saying you don't need Christ. And even though we don't say that out of our mouths, by sometime when we prosper and get to a place and through our just lack of passion toward God, we show it. And God wants you to enjoy your blessing. Remember, my wife went away, we had the time of our life. Because I could just minister directly to her. We laugh, we talk, but we pray. And we get in the Word. We don't just go to just get away. We go. Sometimes you're so close in the forest, you can't see the tree. You have to get away from the people sometimes. And just go. And then God will begin to show you now. When you get back, do this. But we got some things planned. Me and my son been talking about some things that we believe going to revolutionize this whole church. And sometimes it's just take getting away. Sometimes you get so familiar with the people, you know, that you confuse the voice of God. That's why everybody needs to shut the door and go in your closet and get quiet. Do some fasting and praying and seek God. And God began to show us. But my sufficiency is in Christ's sufficiency. I was inefficient. I didn't know nothing about building a church, churches, all this technology. We're preaching to the world now. People are live streaming. Jesus got the camera. Jesus built the building. Jesus got the money. These buildings are paid for. Glory to God. All the equipment is paid for. Glory to God. But that wasn't through my sufficiency. It was through Christ's sufficiency. God wants us to be God dependent. He said, I am self-sufficient. Not in my bank account, my money, my wisdom, my degree. See, that's what happened. Once you become self-sufficient, you're saying, I don't need God. I got enough. See, Paul was insufficient. He said, my grace is sufficient. And God had to remind him, you need me. You still need Christ. See, Paul was trying to do all that stuff alone. That's where burnout comes from. When you try to do a job, a business, anything. Let me tell you, make space for God. When you're pursuing something, a job, a business, a career, make sure you make space for God. I don't care. Make space for God. You're going to need him. Are you listening to me? There could be a great season of prosperity, but a crisis will hit. You better make space for God. Baby, you better make a place for him. Are you listening to me? Now, I want you to confess something with me, but I want you to hear it first. I'm going to say it. And then I want you to confess it behind me. No. Did I make this statement, God's desire for every one of us to be self-sufficient? No. Let's do that. God's desire for every one of us to be self-sufficient. Not to be self-sufficient, but God-dependent. Put that up. God's desire for every one of us to be, never to be self-sufficient, but God-dependent. Never. Because like I said, when you say you can do it, I don't need God. I can deal with these kids. That's the first step toward failure. You need to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. You're saying, God, I don't need you. I can deal with my marriage. I can deal with divorce. I can deal with my finances. I can deal with this. And Ephesians 6:10, there again, it kind of, look what it says. It says, finally, brother, be strong in the Lord and in the power. You don't have any strength to deal with stuff yourself. Our strength comes from him. Be strong in the Lord. I can do all things through Christ, through that anointing, through that anointing. There's times I felt so inadequate getting up here to preach. Do y'all realize the work it takes every week to bring a quality message? It takes time with God. This stuff don't just come natural. This is food from heaven. And sometimes I don't feel the strength to come in this pulpit. But when I step on that step, that anointing come on me. I'm strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. That's the same anointing that when Elijah got weak and wanted to die, when that anointing came on him, I ran the king's chariot for 20 miles. That's the same anointing that came on Samson when he ripped up the gate and took the jawbone of that. Let me tell you, it's a supernatural anointing. And when you're trusting in your own strength, you're setting yourself up for failure. The Amplified puts it this way. In conclusion, be strong in the Lord. Empowered through your union with him in the word, prayer, time. It ain't just church. Some of you beyond church. Well, how much union do you spend with God? That's why we be so weak on Sunday morning. I can feed you, but get your own prayer time. Get your own meditation. Have union. Abide in him. It don't stop at the church. You go home. You get in the word. You get in it tomorrow. You have given us this day, Lord, our daily bread. Draw your strength from him. That strength which is boundless might supplies. Now, I'm going to make a confession. I want you to listen to it because God wants us to be God dependent. And listen to what this says. And then I'm going to have you confess it after me. What I am, God made me. What I have, God gave me. Where I am, God brought me. And what I know, God taught me. I'm going to say it again. Now listen to what I'm saying. Because I want you to confess it with conviction. Because God wants us to give him all the glory. He said, I'm going to say it again, then I'm going to lead you in this. What I am, God made me. What I have, God gave me. See, all glory to God. Where I am, God brought me. And what I know, God taught me. How many of you believe that? All right, confess it behind me. Come on. What I am, God made me. What I have, God gave me. Where I am, God brought me. And what I know, God taught me. What I am, God made me. What I have, God gave me. Where I am, God brought me. And what I know, God taught me. Now with conviction, what I am, God made me. And what I have, God gave me. And where I am, God brought me. And what I know, God taught me. I give glory to God. Give him glory then. Because that's all the credit. God never intended you to be self-dependent. Sometimes we forget those simple things. Man, God brought me out of a little four-room duplex home to here. I'm living a dream. But I never forget. I still need God. You still need God. Just because you got, you know, updated everything. You need to go back and get out some of the old pictures when you had that Jerry Carroll. It used to make the back of your couch wet and realize how far God bought you. Don't be looking at me like you don't know what I'm talking about. Man, God bought us. Man, and I look back. And it makes me God-dependent, not independent. Huh? So insufficiency makes us look toward God. Now, here we go. I'm getting ready to close here. God purposely left void places and gaps in our lives that only he can fill. That's how God made you. God did not create us complete within ourselves. Some of us think we don't need it. If I got this, got that. No. God purposely created loopholes, void places, empty places, gaps in our life. Why? So that we move toward him. He purposely did that. When I go back to the ministry, and I ain't know nothing about how to start a church. I ain't know nothing about incorporating church. I didn't know nothing about license. I didn't know nothing about getting incorporated with the state, the government. I didn't know, but those voids made me seek God. Those insufficient, lack of knowledge. Lack of resources. How you get this started? Where can you go? Blah, 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 blah. And some, I want you to go back before you think where you really came from. Just take a moment, go back, you know, to that first apartment. From a one room, two. Where, you know, you were splitting toast together and when you were squeezing the toothpaste to get it because you didn't have enough money to, come on, when you used to push the cart up to it and hope to God that you won't have to put nothing back at the grocery store. Come on. See, some of y'all like. Oh, y'all were born rich. Okay, well. Man, we grew up where we ate government cheese and thank God for it. I saw a hand go up. How many more honest people? You remember that old thick peanut butter that would break your bread? But I'm telling you one thing I did like. That Spam, good God Almighty. That Spam was like steak now. Shoot, you fry that stuff, get you some mayonnaise. Man, we ate mayonnaise sandwiches, tomato sandwiches. We ain't had no meat. But God has brought me. And that, all that made us seek God. Seek, mama would read the Bible. Seek God. Seek God. That insufficiency. And sometimes we forget where we come from. You understand what I'm saying? So I just said, God purposely. Purposely. Why? That only he can feel. That's why I talk about you can get all designer shoes. Get your stuff. I ain't going to get this because you're all women. And I ain't going to mess. But you know how you get your stuff. And you're going to still be empty on the inside. Alcohol, drugs, pornography, all that. It's for a season. Then the pleasures of sin for a season. Then it's like, man, something. Huh? You got your house built. You thought that was going to do it. Gated community, all that. I got all that stuff. Night shot, everything. Kids out of school, everything. Money, flying. And it's like, God, without you, this ain't nothing. You understand what I'm saying? You can get your degrees. You can have success, build your own business, become prosperous. You're going to still be. Those things cannot fill the void that God purposed. That only your union with him can do it. Take it from me, because you're going to reach for these things. And when you finally get there, you're going to find out I'm still dissatisfied. Only God can scratch that itch in you. That's what happened over in the book of Ecclesiastes when he looked into this thing. Solomon said, all this stuff is vanity. At the end of life, you came naked in the world. You can't take nothing out. And you missed the whole purpose of life, which was knowing God. So here we go. Look at Psalms 42, verse 1 and 2. I believe Brother Lee used this about the glory of God. Of course, Antoine talked about faith. Just believe. And that's all it takes. But your believing need action. Huh? Why sit we here till we die? Huh? Remember, they said at the gate. A gate is a way in and a way out. God said there's a way out. Get up! Come out of whatever you in. Come out of your depression. Put actions with your faith. And as they went. Huh? And the glory of God is being manifested. Isaiah 40 says, prepare ye a highway for God. I'm a voice crying in the wilderness. God, when the glory shows up, it straightens out every. He said, every mountain shall be made low. Yes, God is moving these out. And every valley is going to come up. And the crooked places, I'm going to straighten out all of this junk that is coming to body. For the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and every eye shall see it. And here, notice he says, real quick, I got to close. This mature stuff I'm giving y'all. This ain't about just stuff. As the heart panted at the water brook, see. So panted my soul up the day. See, only God. Listen what he said in the next verse. My soul thirsts for you. Not a car, not a home. Huh? Not Gucci. Ain't nothing wrong with Gucci. Gucci gonna make you. I gotta give me this. I gotta give me a Rolex watch. I gotta give me a Louis Vuitton. So what? Huh? That don't make you. That don't define you. Your name ain't Gucci. You don't have Gucci money. You ain't Louis Vuitton. You don't even know who he is. You don't even know who Versace is. Where do they live? What country they from? And see, we got all this stuff. And really, you're thirsting for God. And I ain't knocking none of that. Don't go out of here telling my pastor. I ain't coming against nothing. I'm just saying, when you get all that, don't forget God. They can't fulfill it. I want to come before him and pray before him. Other scripture real quick. Jesus answered and said to her, remember the woman at the well looking for love in all her own place? And had five men, shacking with one. And Jesus said, go get your husband, I'm going to give you some water. She said, I don't have one. He said, I know that's right. He said, look, you drink of this water. Well, let's just read it. Jesus answered and said to her, whosoever drink of this water shall thirst again. She says, it's only God can fulfill this. Whosoever drink of that water that I shall give shall never thirst. But the water I give will be to him a well of living water springing up to everlasting. It's not in the pocketbook. It's not in the car. It's not in the home. All that stuff is good. But God left loopholes that only he can fill. Materialistic things cannot fill it. Sex cannot fill it. Wealth cannot fill it. All those things are good. Once we get it all, I'm sitting on a plane and I'm flying and all this. But I said, Lord, I remember you. And so every time we got on a plane, I would touch and say, the blood over this plane. I received this as a vehicle to carry your prophet of God. And everyone on this plane, I carry God with me everywhere in every country. That's what I thirst for. And after 40-something years, I'm still digging in the book. I'm still praying. I'm still interceding. God, give me a message. Oh, God, none of it ain't about my stuff. It can't replace it. I'm God dependent. And insufficiency makes us, I still got to depend on him. Even for little things. Well, I'm just having minor surgery. All surgery is major. You need God. And I don't care if you're going in to just have an ingrown toenail removed. You better, I plead the blood of God. Let your hand be on that doctor, the anesthesia. Lord, I need you. Let me, God wants you. We ready for the chart? Start the chart. These are these gaps that God will leave. Number one, gaps of knowledge, things you don't know. If any man lack wisdom, that's why I ain't know nothing about the marriage. You didn't know nothing about the house. You ain't know nothing about getting God quiet. It makes you depend on him. Those are insufficiencies, things you don't know. Got it? Number one, that's the first thing. There's a lot I didn't know about the marriage. There's a lot I didn't know about coming out of that. But there was gaps, but it made me seek God. How do you think I can teach y'all all of this? You're getting a veteran. You ain't got no novice up here. I've lived longer than you. And some of the stuff you have to, I can tell you when you get there, you better take God with you because it's not going to satisfy you like you think. Number two, gaps of vision, things that you don't see. I couldn't see how we're going to build the churches. I couldn't see how we're going to pay all this off. And so I need to seek God. It made me seek him. Where there's no vision, the people perish. And God began to show me, teach the laws of prosperity. Put this in motion. Start taking this and put down on your principle. We're going to pay this off. I needed vision. Come on, we all need vision. Where there's no vision, the people perish. You don't know everything. You're not omniscient. Huh? God is all-knowing. Huh? You don't know everything. Huh? You don't know where your enemy's at. You don't know where what the devil got planned. So we need vision. All right? Number three, gaps of resources, things that you don't have. See, God places these things, these insufficiencies, because it makes us seek him. Huh? Remember before you got the house, before you got the car, the one you driving now, the nice one. I'm talking about the dog car. You remember the first dog car? You remember the one that you had to believe God to start and believe God to stop? You know, the transmission would slip right in the middle of the thing. You have to slap it and hope that no one hit you in the red light. Come on. I'm talking about going back to them old things you did. Oh, you listen to me. Resources. I didn't look at all of this. How you get out? I had to seek God. My insufficiency, it made me seek God about the cameras, about the carpet, about building the thing for you. Come on. And number four, and I love this one, gaps of love, things you don't feel. The first and great commandment is to love the Lord thy God with all your heart. And you might think you got the perfect wife, the perfect man. You might think y'all Romeo and Juliet. But that man cannot fulfill everything. Only God, the place God in that woman. And that woman can't fulfill, that man can't fulfill everything. Only God. It's going to be a gap. Some of you know what I'm talking about. You've been married and you're like, we just paying bills now. But you know what I'm talking about. Come on. When you first got married, y'all used to walk together in the mall. Now, 10 years later, he way up there, you back there. You better come on. Come on. It's going to be something. Because even though you got the woman, even though you got this and got that, the first and great commandment is to love thy God, love with all thy heart. And it's going to be a love in you. If you don't have this love for God, that's what you're really craving for. And God says, I purposely left these gaps. Huh? All these things are needs. Look at them again. Gaps of knowledge, things that you don't know. Gaps of vision, things that you don't see. Gaps of resources. Can anybody wait with me? Come on. Think about where you came from. You didn't know how you're going to get out of debt. You didn't know how y'all going to get y'all in the house. You didn't know how you're going to pay for that car. You didn't know. Come on. And then gaps of love, things that you don't feel. You can go and get prostitutes. All you want. You can get all type of kinky stuff. It ain't gonna last. You can get your car. It ain't gotta be a prostitute. You can be in love with your car. You love it when you first get it. After a while, you know when you first get it, you wash it the first week, 3 weeks later, mud all on it. Shoot, man. You love, you fall out of love. Come on. Because you're trying to fill a gap that only God can fill. Now, here's the kicker. Here's the kicker. Put up my next statement. Every gap represents a need.
Come on. Amen.
very gap represents a need that only God can fulfill. Gaps of love. I need God's love in my life. Thank God for love. Thank God for joy. But God loves me in a different way. I need gaps of knowledge. Gaps of vision. And all this comes from God. I need God. So I got to be God dependent. Now, let's look up Philippians 4:19 and read it differently. Come on, read. But my God shall supply all your needs. Just stop there. Say it again. My God shall supply some, all of those gaps. You've been trying to do it with stuff, pocketbooks, materialistic things. Got a new house, got a great job, got a great business, but only God can meet those needs. Can't no man, no woman, no car, no amount of money, no vacation, no job, no business, no 401k. God wants us to be God dependent. But it's only through our insufficiency that we get serious about that. I'm about through. I know y'all wanted me to come back with something. But I'm trying to move you toward God. An intimate place. Be still and know that I'm God. Get still. I want you back. You've left your first love. I'm the one you need. You can get all this stuff and it can't fill these gaps in your life. I'm God. I created you. I knew you from the womb. I know about your personality, what you like, what you don't like. I knew your weaknesses, strength. I'm the one who can, only one who can love you perfectly. And until you depend on me, all these, you see now why insufficiencies are in our life? They move us toward God. I'm going to close with this. Pastor's note. No, God says, warns us not to forget him. Huh? He warns us. We forget. I don't get people who all of a sudden come out of the hood, get a little something, something, and don't know how to act. Because real multi-billionaires ain't walking around with Versace on and Gucci and they got on a t-shirt, some jeans, and some penny loafers. Because Mark Cuban, see, when you know that you know that you know what you already got, you ain't got to try to impress nobody. You ain't got to put no big old spokes on your Mercedes and have to wet the car stop, then spokes still turning and turning, and then the thing bouncing all. Those folks ain't never had nothing. They want you to know. We see the Mercedes thing. Why you got Mercedes in the window? We can all see. You just told me you ain't ever had nothing. You're trying to fill a gap, a need in your life that only God can fill. You don't need another set of rims. And most of them car them rims cost more than a car. Y'all ever see? That's someone. And see, we crowd. And I'm going to say something. Lord, how can I say it? When you start changing your body around, getting this and tucking that and cutting off this and nipping that and putting something else out, that's a need that only God, that ain't going to, that's someone crying out, sawing extra stuff in there. Please, I'm not trying to be funny. What they're crying out for is God. Because once you get all that, and get all that, and get them thick lips, and get all that Botox under your eye, and get that, come on. You still you on the inside, you just got all this stuff on. You're crying out. And please take that sensitively and not, don't be insensitive. I learned that. I had to learn it because I was trying to do it before I got saved. I had a big fro, like Michael Jackson, huge fro. I was crying out for God. You know, I come from under the bridge, folks. I was sleeping under the bridge on Washington Street in a cardboard box, and God has. I can't forget that. It was God doing drugs and Quaaludes and pills and Windepain and Purple Haze and Jimi Hendrix and Deep Purple and some of y'all should have both. She got that. Pink Floyd. And I was on both sides of Funkadelics and all of it. Black and white. Crying out for something, a gap. Thank God in 1974, I found Jesus, what I was crying out for. He has supplied my need, and I'm God-dependent. Now, I'll close with this. God warns not to forget him. Is that my last thing? Okay. Deuteronomy 8. Or do we do the pastors know? He said, beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in keeping his commandments and his judgment and his statutes which I command thee this day. See, he said, don't forget me, lest when you've eaten, you fool, has built good houses, not just one, good houses, and dwell therein. And when your herd and your flock multiply, your money start big money, you know. Now you're doing it big, silver and gold, multiply, and all that you have, multiply. Then your heart be lifted up, and you forget the Lord thy God. Huh? You said, I don't need him anymore. See, well, look, before we had all that stuff, that insufficiency drove us. You forgot that he brought you out of Egypt, out of sin, the house of bondage. Huh? But look at verse 17 and 18. And thou said, my heart, my power, my might. Look at my house, my car. Look, let me take y'all out of the park. Let me show you this. And you forget, huh? Next verse. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God gave you the power to get well, to establish this covenant. God said, don't forget me. I want you always to depend on me. I'm the one that gave you the good house, the good car of business. And what happens is we get comfortable in our abundance, and then we get lazy, you know. We don't seek God. Why? No, I said, for what? I got this. I got that. I don't have to seek God. I got my house now. I got my car. Got my ideal car or cars. And he said, you forget the Lord thy God. So I want to close with this statement as a pastor's note. Success is not is given for a platform to glorify God, not to spotlight you. People think I'm successful. I hear people where I go. Some people call me and my wife celebrities. Oh, there go Pastor D. We watch you on. I'm like, celebrity? I'm just doing the will of God. But it's don't bring the spotlight to me. It's to bring glory to God. We're live streaming to the world right now. You know why God gave me this platform? To bring glory to him. And what happens if we get a platform and then we think it's spotlighting us? Look at me, my power, my might. And there's a difference as I close between, and I'll share that last scripture, but not yet. There's a difference between a platform and a stage. A stage is for performers. Who's on stage next? What rock star's coming up next? What jazz musician? Performers, they get on stage. They're on stage. It's all about them. A platform is given to bring glory to God. God will give you a platform on your job, in your neighborhood, wherever, not to bring the spotlight to you, but to make people look and say, well, God do that for him. If God, I knew Pastor did, that guy came on the streets of High Point. Look what he's doing. I ain't doing it, huh? I'm stronger, Lord, in power. He's doing it. So I take that platform and use it for the glory of God. And when God gives you a platform, a position on your job or anywhere, he's giving you a platform not to bring spotlight and glory to you, but to bring glory to God. Like I said, the stage is for performance. That's why people on stage, they just want to be seen. They can't wait. There are people who couldn't wait. I wouldn't mind. I can get up there. Lord, I put on this and put on that. And look like. No, I'm not up here performing. I'm up here to give us a platform to the world to point people to Jesus. Because when they see how good God is to me, it is the goodness of God that calls men to repent. It's to give you a platform to help and motivate other people to move toward God. Now I'm putting up my last scripture. I'm done. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your more excellent, your praiseworthy, noble, and good deeds, and recognize and honor not you, not praise you, but praise and glorify the Father which is in heaven. Everything God has done is to give me a platform. You can misuse a platform to bring spotlight to you. You won't be on it. Be preaching long. Because God says no flesh is going to glory in my presence. And every gift you have, every talent you have, whether it's singing, preaching, ushering, whatever you do on your job, it don't have to be nothing in the church. If you have a gift, whether you're a beautician or whether you're a doctor, lawyer, God is giving you a platform to reach people. Use it for his glory. Y'all get anything out of this? All right, I'm through. Stand on your feet. We need to become God dependent. Huh? That's the balance of insufficiency. And some of you, you think when you get the final job, you won't. The final position, you won't. You think you're going to be happy. Let me save you some time. If you leave God behind you, you're going to be miserable. I'm going to be preaching some things here that's going to be mature stuff. It's going to be mature stuff. Because we try to bring ourselves along. But one thing God made plain to me about reflection, the power of reflection, that reflection of a man is his wife. People gonna judge how good the man doing by the wife. Amen. Scripture and verse. Husband, love your wife even as you love your own self. No man never hated, but he nourished himself. Well, if your wife is one, you know, it used to be that old man, he might have been a mechanic, had oil and stuff under his fingernails, and but his wife, praise God, drove an old truck, but his wife, nails were nice, and she was driving Cadillac. And some of you think you can just do all on your, but we're going, us men, I know that boy, I don't know if I'm coming to death. Let me know when you, no, I ain't going to let you know nothing. Because you think you can do it without them. And God has made it plain to me. I'm going to have to take the time, whatever it takes, make my wife look good, not just in clothes, unity, conversation, because when people, the truth is, when people come to church, they ain't looking at me pretty well. Where the wife at? And if she down there with a grimace on her face, they like, nah, son, he ain't right. Oh, I didn't mean to bring everybody down. I just thought I'd throw that out as a preview. Because you want to bring yourself along and be the spotlight and think you don't need. Now, I'm not saying if you done made a mistake that God can't correct it, but I'm trying to say that we've got to understand that this thing starts in the home first. You're trying to look good and all this and all that, and your wife, hair is all messed up, dress, wrinkle. Man, I'm not going to put you in no position because look at your wife. That's why you want to move up in here, then I want your wife to be looking nice. I want your wife to be driving good. I want your wife because a woman is supposed to be a reflection of a husband. Adam, where are you? I'm holding you responsible. I thought I'd just throw that out there. I don't know what that did. Sorry. That was free. All right. I love y'all. Listen, you be seated. I'm going to let you go home. It's good to be back. It's time to grow up. It's time to grow up. Quit playing these games in church. Because I'm going to tell you that some of the messages God gives.
Nothing remains the same, starting over again.